Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this racing postcast. It's Monday and we're going to look back on the week's racing and the weekend, of course. Joined by Jimmy Hill, Mark Boylan and Paul Binfield from Paddy Power. This week we had Ascot, Haydock, Newmarket and Deauville to look at, and also some international action as well. The main showpiece arguably was the Shergar Cup, maybe not everyone's cup of tea, but the rest of the world team won it. Hayley Turner was awarded the Silver Saddle Award. Jimmy, are you for or against the Shergar Cup as a rule, would you say?
I'm not a fan of the prominence it's given. I think we should be having better quality racing on a Saturday, to be honest with you. We're in August, it's the middle of summer, we should be having Group 1s. The concept, I'm not saying totally get rid of it, but maybe it's something more for a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm sure many people agree with that. But it serves a purpose and it was... good show put on as per usual. What was your sort of performance of the meeting?
Well, Hayley Turner lit it up again. I mean, she loves it, doesn't she? I thought her ride on the Mark Johnston horse who won the Classic Saparinka was very good. Timed it beautifully. That was a lovely ride. I mean, some of the racing was good, and it was good to see some of the overseas riders taking part. Gave it a bit of flavour. But she was the star of the show once again.
Yeah. I know in our Fever piece, Mark, we referred to it... David Carr, I think it was, who referred to the Shergar Cup as almost like a gateway drug. And I must admit, there's people from school who live in London who I haven't spoken to in years, and they ended up turning up clearly just for the day out. So it does have a draw in that aspect.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, Mark Johnson's comments about the colours. Like, I respect for what Mark Johnson says a lot of the time, because I think he's a good straight-talking individual. And I just felt, though, that the colours, they have to stay that way. I think it makes sense myself. I understand from the owner's point of view, you're going to want to have your own colours, but I think it's a good day to be involved in. I think it's a great chance for international riders to gain a bit of profile, and if you're saying it's impacting your friends, it's obviously a good result too from a young racegoer's point of view. But I thought it worked quite well. It's not something that I count down the days to every year, but I'm not against it either.
Yeah, exactly. Mark Johnston, of course, as Mark said, he hit out about the colours situation. Not happy about that. Binners, Shergar Cup, I presume you're in favour.
Well, I am, Maddie, but I'm not a massive fan. I think it's great that it brings in young people, young kids to Ascot for the day, but it's not my cup of tea. And I agree with Mark Johnston on the colours. I've been following racing for over 30 years, and I still have trouble sometimes picking out one horse that I'm following in a race, let alone when there's three or four in the same colours. Possibly an idea is to give Let the horses run in their owners' colours, but give them a couple of armbands on each arm, green or red or whatever it is, and maybe that could work for the team thing, which might well appeal to young kids who are used to following football teams. But it's not really my cup of tea, Maddie.
I like that as an idea. Definitely, I can see where Mark's coming from with the colours. I must admit, I know some of them have. They're all obviously in their individual colours per teams, but they have sort of stars on some, chevrons on some. It can be hard to tell, even though they do have the names on the back, which obviously you can't see when they're racing. Anyway, we'll move on to the action elsewhere, and some good races at Haydock, including the Rose of Lancaster, which was won by Adabe on his beloved soft ground. And Jimmy, that is the key with this horse, isn't it, I think, now?
Absolutely, no, that was a good performance. Short price favourite, but so he was expected to win. But I thought it was impressive the way he saw off two decent three-year-olds, really. The question is now whether he can kind of go on from that and move up to the next level, which is a Group 2, Group 1 horse. He probably does need that sort of ground, I would think, to reach that level. But the cheek pieces have certainly helped him. And maybe he's in great form at the moment.
Yeah, entries in both the Judmont International and the Champion Stakes. Champion Stakes probably more likely to get the ground based on the last couple of runnings, you'd think. Binners, would you give him an each-way shout in those?
Certainly in the Champion Stakes, Maddie. We cut him for that 10-1 from 12-1. I think the reasoning behind it is we left him unchanged for the Judmont International at 20-1. I think the reasoning is that we think he's more likely to get his favoured soft ground at Ascot in October. And you know, when he does get his conditions in his favour, he's an absolute monster.
Yeah, interestingly, I thought William Haggis, who is in blinding form, more of which later on, he said he could be better after a bit of a break, and he wasn't really necessarily that happy with some of his performances this season. So it could be interesting if they leave off him now and then head to Champions Day. Mark, any thoughts on Adabe?
Yeah, I'd be echoing what you've said there so far. I'm not sure if he's a genuine Group 1 horse, but he's the sort of horse that could run well in a race like the Champions Stakes, because some of them, if it did turn up deep ground, they won't handle it, and you can be sure this fella will. I'm not too sure. He's the sort of horse that if you had yourself, you could plot your races, but you're always going to be dependent on weather forecast. So I'd say he's a difficult horse to plan, and if you had a race in mind that you thought would suit him, you're always going to have to be looking for the Norwegian weather forecast to make sure you're on the ball. So, but there should be nice races to be won with him. I don't think he's genuine Group 1 class yet, but I thought the way to support, something to note, was the way to support for Raise You. He was well backed, albeit the Wissahickon's withdrawal did affect the market, but I think he's a nice horse going forward now. Wouldn't give up on him just yet, and I'd be interested if he stays in training next season. He's a nice one to look forward to.
Yeah, he is indeed. Him and Pondus, the three-year-olds who sort of tried to put it up to a day, but they couldn't do it. We'll see where he goes then. Another winner for Haggis on Saturday was Miss O'Connor, really unexposed filly. Mark, she came from Jimmy Feen's stable.
Yeah, with John Feen over here, real shrewd operator, John. He's well able to get them ready. Maybe not with first maiden winners historically, but this one won really nice at Gore, and it won at a big price, I think. But it was nibbled at in the market, if I do remember right. No, just loves that sort of ground as well. Looks a shrewd acquisition for the Haggis team. Very impressive at Nottingham, and backed it up again here. It looks a proper horse now going forward, and sort of one that could make her impact at Group 3, Group 2 level to find the right opportunity. And a nice one.
Yeah, indeed. I think William said she's not got any, you know, really fancy entries, Jimmy, but she still looked quite green and inexperienced to me, in that she was waiting for the other horses to come to her, and in the final half furlong, she really stretched away and stamped her class on the field.
Yeah, I mean, she's done nothing wrong, and there should be more to come from her. I mean, if she's talking about becoming a real group class filly, I think she's still got some improvement to come. But, you know, there were some solid types in behind, and she won with authority. They never really looked like they were going to beat her, and she handled the ground well.
Yeah, and, you know, another sort of different take on the action. West End Girl, she won the Sweet Solera. How impressed were you with her? A daughter of Golden Horn, of course.
Yeah, that was a typical Mark Johnston filly, really. I mean, she just toughed it out. Didn't look like she was going to win coming down the hill, but the moment she hit the rising ground, she just stuck her neck out. More stronger and better stamina than the rest of them. I didn't think it was that good a race, to be honest with you, so that may be the ceiling of her ability.
Yeah, I can't necessarily see her being that high up in some of the anti-post market binners. Did you cut her at all?
No, actually, Maddie, we introduced her into the 1,000 guineas at 33-1, that's her first show. Not sure she's going to make too much of an impact, but you can do no more than win these races.
Indeed. And as Jimmy said, typical Mark Johnston performance, really. We'll look at some of the international action now. Of course, yesterday we had the Jack Lamawa, and won by Romanized in impressive style. Jimmy, you know, a horse that's been a bit unlucky throughout his career on a couple of occasions, but he put his best foot forward here, and he is a decent horse on his day.
Well, he surprised me, to be honest with you. On Sunday, I thought maybe his Irish 2000 guineas win was a bit of a fluke last season. But, you know, he was really strongly fancied for the lock-in. She was undoubtedly unlucky in the Queen Anne. Should have finished a lot closer there. Never got the rub of the green through the race. And I thought he won with plenty of authority. So in a Group 1 like that, I mean, you've got to be a good horse. It wasn't a great Mauer. The Coronation Stakes winner Watch Me was a bit disappointing. Again, maybe showing that the three-year-old fillies aren't up to much. But I thought he travelled much the best, quicker, nicely. And yeah, a race like the QE2, he's definitely got to be a contender now.
Yeah, he sure has, Mark. Good to see some sort of lesser known, if you like, connections back in the Group 1 winners enclosure with Ken Condon and Billy Lee. Bit of a romance story, this one.
Look, to be honest, of all the results this weekend, this one, I'm smiling even thinking about it. I really am so delighted for Ken Condon and Billy Lee too. He's a world-class rider, but Ken Condon, arguably the nicest man in Irish racing, and a really capable operator when given the ammunition. And I really hope this horse gets the credit he deserves now. You know, he's a classic winner, albeit now that I was ready to throw the laptop at the television watching Romanize doing US Navy flag in the Guineas last year, because I was pretty deep in Navy flag, unfortunately. But this horse has just not got the luck previously. Like in the Queen Anne, maybe not an unlucky loser, but he should have been closer. And he's been brilliantly plotted out from Ken. The horse doesn't want rattling quick ground. And that's the one thing I'd worry about if they are talking with the Breeders' Cup mile for him. Because he doesn't... Previously, when you're around the St. James's Palace, they mentioned that Ascot ground, there was no kindness in it, and that counted against him. Whereas if he gets a little bit of kindness in the ground, not that it's on the soft side, he doesn't need it like that, but just as it was there at the weekend, it fell perfectly. He's a really classy horse, loads of speed. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next, but I'm just delighted for Ken. It's a fantastic result, and great for Irish racing to be winning a race. They get disappointed with the filly, watch me a little bit, but the Coronation, as Jimmy says, has taken a few knocks.
Yeah, it sure has. Romanized anyway. Well, let's turn our attentions back to him. Binners, and did you cut him for the QE2?
We did indeed, Matt. It was lovely to see the form of the Paddy Power Minstrel Stake boosted again. Hey Gammon was second to Romanized in that, and he filled the same position in the Lennox Stakes, and Romanized brilliant for Ken Condon. We cut him for the QE2 initially, 10 from 16. He's still that price, but then Ken was talking more about going for the Prix de la Forêt in France or the Breeders' Cup Mile. We haven't got a Forêt market up at the moment, but we introduced him for the Breeders' Cup Mile at 14-1, and it'll be great to see Ken have a runner over the pond.
Yeah, it sure will be. One horse who really impressed in America was, of course, Bricks and Mortar, who won the Arlington Million, beating Magic Wand. Jimmy, this for me is a serious horse, and I don't know if he goes to the, you know, Breeders' Cup Mile or the Breeders' Cup Turf, but I think he's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big follower of American racing, but he'd have to be a contender for that. Magic Wand is a good yardstick, so to beat that one as easily as he did, got to be a serious horse. He'll have his conditions in the Breeders' Cup, so yeah.
Yeah, certainly. The trainer does very, very well with these types. Marks, any thoughts? Did you catch that race?
Yeah, I was impressed by the horse. He's been impressive all year. Just continues to keep winning in that sort of company. On the turf, I don't know if there's a real standout horse over there at the minute, but if there is, this is it. Robert Bruce was a legitimate contender coming in here. I thought Hunting Horn had a big chance, but maybe he just needs a mile and a half. And fair credit to Magic Wand. She seems to up her game when she goes over there every so often. And, I'm not saying if she ran her in a Group 1 over here, it's not quite run to the same level as it will across the water. But take nothing away from the winner. He'd be very interesting. I wonder what sort of bullets Europe will fire at him in the Breeders' Cup. Hard to see where we'll be going. But if Enable turned up, for example, in a turf against him, it would be no contest. But I don't know if that's the way we're going to be going. I think he's a really, really solid horse.
Yeah, be nice to see them, you know, taking on some fresh opposition. Binners, what price is he for the two Breeders' Cup targets?
Well, Mark says no contest for the turf, but we make Enable 100-30 favourite. Crystal Ocean between at 7-2 and Bricks and Mortar at 5-1. So maybe it's a bit closer than Mark suggests if they all show up. In the Breeders' Cup Mile, that one's headed by Circus Maximus at 6-1, but Bricks and Mortar, once again, not far behind at 7-1, with King of Comedy at 8-1 for John Gosden.
That'll do for the review section then, and make sure you remember that you can bet via the Racing Post app. So for any of those prices that Binners mentioned, if they take your fancy, you can download the app via the Google Play Store.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now we're going to take a look at some of the midweek action. And starting on Thursday at Salisbury, the 350 is the Tattersall's Sovereign Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile. Some of the highest rated in here, Accidental Agent and Duke of Hazard, the glorious Goodwood winner. Jimmy, who did your sort of main selection turn out to be?
Mads, I'm going to give one more chance here to Great Scott, Tom Dascombe's cut.
Yes.
I remain convinced he's a group horse. Not straightforward, but I mean, if you look at some of his form last season, he was fifth in the Vertemps of Charity at Doncaster, Group 1. Look at some of the horses who finished in front of him. He was beaten just over a length. You had Magna Grecia, Phoenix of Spain, and Circus Maximus. So that's really good form. He did well in the Greenham as well, first time out, finishing second. I fancied him to run a big race in the Hampton Court, but he just never settled. I thought the step up in trip might suit, but I mean, he got away with his jockey down the hill at the start, and after that it was game over. So I put a line through that performance, and I think a stiff mile, which you get at Salisbury, on the back of the forecast rain they had on the Wednesday, will make conditions perfect for him.
Okay, shameless plug from me here. I like another horse who ran in that Hampton Court Stakes, who has entered up here in King Ottica. Just mentioned him in my RFO column for the week, so definitely already nailed my colours to the mast with that one. I think we're yet to see the best of King Ottica, especially if there is some rain. Good third in what was a red, red hot Hampton Court, as I think you said, Jimmy, with Sangarius and Fox Chairman and Roseman, horses like that, all in that race. We'll go to you next, Mark. Any thoughts on the Sovereign Stakes?
Yeah, I'd have respect for Ottica, right? Real nice horse. Look, we'll get a better idea when the full field finalises, but I like the look of Accidental Agent. Look, maybe I'm too forgiving at this stage of the day. I have to a trait that David Jennings often speaks about. Unfortunately, I think I've been blessed with a two or cursed, whatever you want to look at it. But I'd be willing to give him another chance here. Just the class angler, the race, and stiff my Ascot suits him, think this will too. So, look, I won't come down firmly on one just yet, but I have respect for Ottica, but Accidental Agent probably the one I'd just come down at the minute.
Yeah, certainly a talented horse who's been a bit tricky. We get to see the best of him this season. Binners, any thoughts on this race?
Well, you mentioned Accidental Agent and Duke Hazard. I'd go for Accidental Agent if you could guarantee he got off to a good start. He seems a bit quirky and he's been slowly away the last time after refusing before that. So I'm going to go for Duke of Hazard. I thought he was very impressive at Goodwood when justifying favouritism in the Thoroughbred Stakes. Despite getting a terrible run in on a couple of occasions, sir, that was a marvellous performance. And the Paul Cole team think the world of this one. So I'm going to go for Duke of Hazard.
Yeah, headgear certainly seems to have made all the difference with him. Also on Thursday then, at Leopardstown, at 7 o'clock is the Invesco Pension Consultants Desmond Stakes. Now, we could see a classic contender reappear here in Mad Moon, of course, fourth in the Newmarket Guineas, second in the Derby, and then fourth in the Irish Derby. Mark, are we yet to really see what this horse is capable of?
I think he's had a good time, I think, so far this season, without getting a win to reward him. I make no secret about it. I'm the chairperson of the Mad Moon fan club. I've been there since day one when he won on debut at Leopardstown. I've really been a fan of the horse. And I'm delighted for Kevin Prendergast that this horse could give him a Group 1 really in the twilight of his career. But you know, it didn't work out for him last time in the Curra, and it didn't work out for plenty of them. You know, we're still in the dark somewhat as to whether Sovereign's result is something we can take pretty solidly. I think he was kind of a hostage to fortune in the Irish Derby, in the sense that I'd imagine Chris Hayes' idea was to track Anthony Van Dyck, and when Anthony Van Dyck didn't get there in time, and when you had at the same time Broom kind of half fell out of the stalls, I think that's kind of what happened there, and you got Sovereign out in front who was able to dominate. But I think this horse has plenty of speed going back to a mile. You know, I spoke to Kevin Prendergast for a piece that we did yesterday or the day before, and he said the horse couldn't be better. And said that, you know, I asked him about the drop back to a mile, because obviously he's been competing over further the last twice, but he said he ran well over 7 furlongs at the start of the year, which is a good point that he made behind the Madrid handicap winner, and giving him £3 too. So look, I think Mad Moon should win this. On ratings, he's clear, and I'm just looking forward to seeing him getting back in there as Champion Stakes, please God, at the end of the season, because that's the conditions that will really see the best of him, I think. A mile and a quarter at Leopardstown, we got quick ground last year, you saw how good he was in Irish Champions again last year. I'll bring it on. I can't wait for it. So hopefully he's still in the same sort of form after a heavy start of the season.
Bring it on. Those are the words from Mark Boylan. Jimmy, would you be so confident that he'd handle the drop back to a mile?
I don't know if I could be more confident than what Mark's saying, but I'm like Mark, I'm a big fan of him. Yeah, I think that the drop back in triple suit. He was a bit unfortunate in the Derby. He ran such a good race, so he just probably got racing a bit too soon in the straight. And he was probably feeling the effects of that at the Curra, which was a very messy race.
It's a weird division, isn't it, at the minute, really? Anthony Van Dyck, I mean, he ran no race in the King George. As Mark mentioned, Sovereign, we don't know where we're at with him. And even in the Epsom Derby, they all finished in a bit of a heap, didn't they? What's going on?
So the Epsom Derby form has worked out in some areas. I mean, Circus Maximus and Japan, of course. I mean, both those horses have franked the form. Anthony Van Dyck, I've had a very hard race at Epsom. I'm not surprised he hasn't really shown his best since then. And I don't think Mad Moon was necessarily at his best at the Curra either, but I thought Chris Hayes looked after him there. He's been freshened up a bit. He won't be at his best here, I don't think, because the Irish Champion Stakes will probably be his big target. Yeah, in this company, I would have thought he'd have too much glass for them.
Okay, and Binners finally.
Yeah, the guys have said it all, really. Maddie, I think it'll take a brave man to take on Mad Moon. Sure, he was disappointing in the Irish Derby, but this is quite a drop in class. And I'm not concerned about the mile at all either. I think he ran a cracker in the English Guineas. He needed to be stand side that day, really. He was second of 16 in his group, and I think he'll just be too good for these rivals.
Okay, we'll move on to Friday then. The 6:45 is the Coma Group International Irish St. Ledger Trial Stakes. It's at the Curragh and it's a Group 3. Plenty of Aidan O'Brien entries here, as you'd anticipate. Mark, do you have an idea of who might turn up? Are you getting your crystal ball out to tell us?
I'd sooner find out the Euro Millions numbers for the next 2 weeks, I think. I'm not too sure what'll happen here. But I'd be interested to see if Capri runs, because he's a horse that's been tried at staying distances. It hasn't quite worked out from this season, but you know, it's worth noting that early in the year, Aidan O'Brien was kind of making this horse out to be his Ascot Gold Cup horse. So if he lined up, I'd be interested to see what he can do. But hard to have an opinion with any great conviction here. Obviously, Master of Reality's Ascot Gold Cup run was top-notch. If he could reproduce something like that, it'd be hard to beat. And Falcon 8 is in there as well. A real smart colt, but he's the sort of one that you'd lead the longest distance you can get for this lad. I don't know if a mile and six might even be a bit sharp from smart colt, though. So looking forward to seeing what he can do. But probably Capri, if he lined up here, I'd be interested in giving her a chance.
Yeah, former, you know, really classy horse, Irish Derby winner, St. Ledger winner, etc., Jimmy. But Capri, God, he's been frustrating, hasn't he?
Very frustrating. He could be coming back. We shall wait and see. That was a bit of a better run in the Gold Cup at Royal Ascot. But I'll go for Falcon 8, who took another step in the right direction at Sandown. Young, improving stayer for Dermot Weld. I think the Irish St. Ledger is definitely the big target for him. And I would have thought he'd take his chance, providing the ground's not too slow.
Okay, we're going to rattle through one more race before we look at the Hungerford Stakes on Saturday. Binners, any thoughts on the Irish St. Ledger trial?
Well, Mark's kind of stolen my thunder. He went for Capri, but talked about a couple of others, including Master of Reality for Joseph O'Brien. He was only just beaten in the Gold Cup, as Mark said, behind Stradivarius, and he loves a bit of cutting the ground. So if he shows up, I think he'll go well.
Also at the Curragh on Friday, then, is the Royal Whip Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and two. That's at 7:15. And interestingly here, Aidan O'Brien has opted to leave Sir Dragonate in, not seen since a good run from him in the Derby that we were just talking about with Mad Moon. Still a really unexposed horse, Mark. How high could he fly?
Yeah, the sky is still the limit for him. You know, you wouldn't knock him for anything he did last time. You know, it's a tough environment to step into. So, no, I'll be looking forward. He's the one that obviously he's just jumps out at you. He's pretty obvious that he's the unexposed one. But you know what? I give another chance here to Leo de Fury. You know, didn't work out from last time at Goodwood. It was scrappy enough sort of race.
That, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally, totally. Just a horse now that there seemed to be the vibes were strong about previously. So, no, I'd be willing to have a look at him again. And that battle might have made a man of him. But, no, Sir Dragon is obviously the one that stands out. But keep an eye on Leo de Fury.
Just going to throw you a curveball. Do you know why he's been off such a long time? Or do you think Aidan was just thinking he's still inexperienced, we'll give him a bit of a break?
Not too sure, Manny. I haven't seen anything, but just first thing off the top of my head, I would think is that he's gone very quickly progressing in a short space of time. And often Aidan likes to give them time then to recover. Like, he's gone from a Tipperary maiden that was a bit of a shock result to then going into Chester and winning very easily and then step up into Epsom straight away. It's a very quick progression, and I'd say Aidan just didn't want to, you know, you talk about the Anthony Van Dyke thing there, Jimmy, I think it's a similar sort of thing. You look at the difference he's gone to the Irish Derby afterwards, and he's probably paid the price at Ascot, albeit that's not just, it could be more than that, but you know, just I think they've given this fella more time because they haven't drilled him from the very start. You'd imagine he went off a big price to win at Tipperary, maybe he wasn't roaring and shouting at home.
Yeah, precisely. So Dragonair should be tough to beat if producing his best here.
Yeah, Mark makes the point, you know, he's an inexperienced colt. Aidan's quite rightly giving him plenty of time to get over that Derby effort. It was a great effort in the Derby.
I thought he was going to win at one stage.
Absolutely, yeah. No, he looked like he was going to go through and win it. If he's somewhere near his best, I think he should win this. He's got too much ability for the rest of them, I would say. But he'll probably be a little bit rusty, given he's had a break.
Yeah, that's true. Aidan O'Brien often doesn't, you know, hammer them for their sort of return efforts. Binners, quickly then, before we have a look at Saturday in the Hungerford.
Yeah, you'd have to say Sir Dragonet is the one to beat if he turns up. You know, he was sent off favourite for the Derby and he didn't run at all badly. As the guys have already said, we haven't seen him for a while, so possibly Buckhurst could be one for the each-way players if he shows up for Joseph O'Brien. I was quite impressed with his win in the international stakes at the Curragh at the end of June. And maybe he could shake up Sir Dragonet, but it'll take a good performance to beat that one.
Indeed. We're hearing quite a lot at the minute about these sort of 7 furlong specialist horses, and another race that they could have been targeted at is Saturday's Unibet Hungerford Stakes, a Group 2 over the 7 furlongs, that intermediate trip. Among the top rated, we have first up entered is Hagerman, Space Traveller, Space Blues and One Master. Jimmy, tricky puzzles to solve often, these ones, I find.
Yeah, you mentioned One Master there. I actually backed her in the Queen Anne. I thought she was going to win.
What an effort.
Yeah, I was getting very excited, but she didn't quite make it and things went downhill from there for the rest of the week. But this is over 7 furlongs, so this should suit her a bit better. They'll have had a bit of rain during the week, which will help her. And she's got that touch of class, which a lot of these others haven't. So I will go for her for informed trainer William Haggis.
Yeah. Gosh, he is in form, isn't he? And she was unlucky not to win that Falmouth, I thought. Mark, what do you think of the Hungerford Stakes?
Yeah, the 7 furlong sort of division at group level doesn't capture my imagination, really. It's nearly like a kind of a Ryanair chase division on the flat for me. It doesn't kind of get me going. And I don't know, I thought Too Darn Hot winning over 7 furlongs earlier in the year was impressive, but it's kind of, you're between two stools, aren't you? And maybe I should be more open about it and accept that, you know, it's a division of its own. But I like 6 furlongs or a mile kind of traditional sense. But the one that I like here is Space Blues. You know, just the thought didn't pan out perfectly for him last time against Advertise. The only thing I'm worried about that would strike me from being, or stop me from being extremely confident, is he's ran twice in April, twice in May, once in June, once in July, once August. It's a heavy old campaign. I just worry if it catches up with him. But I think Newbury will suit him. I think the trip, and it's what he likes. So I think he's pretty solid as long as the schedule doesn't catch up with him.
Yeah, I'm a really big Space Blues fan, it must be said. I think it was interesting. That was the perfect race for him, wasn't it, the Maurice de Geest? And he made up so much ground on arguably the wrong part of the track. I wonder if maybe a really hard run 6 might suit him more, at 6.5, more than this 7. But I do think we've yet to see the best of him. So he'd be my selection as well. Binners, finally.
Well, I'd love to see Hey Gammon win for James Tate and uphold that Paddy Power Minstrel Stakes form. Which Romanised advertised so well at the weekend. However, Hey Gammon was comprehensively beaten by Sir Dancelot at Goodwood. I don't see any real reason why he might turn that form around, so I'm going to go for David Ellsworth's charge, Sir Dancelot, with probably Gerald Mosse on board again.
Yeah, indeed. Good pairing, those two, aren't they? And again, as we mentioned before, any of those horses interest you, then get on to our Racing Post app with all the best sign-up offers from the bookmakers there. You're sure to lock onto some value.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this final instalment of the Monday Postcast. The midweek racing is our next port of call. I'll spin you through the meetings quickly. Tuesday, it's Nottingham, Fosslass, Lingfield, Carlisle. Wednesday is Beverley, Newton Abbott, Salisbury, Worcester, Goram Park, Kempton. Thursday is Salisbury, Beverley, Lingfield, Yarmouth, Leopardstown, Chepstow, Tremor. And Friday is Wolverhampton, Newbury, Nottingham, Thirsk, Newmarket, Chelmsford and the Curragh. Who is your next best this week, Jimmy Hill?
On Thursday in the 4:20 at Salisbury, I couldn't help noticing in the Phillies handicap the name Sea of Faith, who was pretty disappointing last time. But for all the hype that surrounded her this season, let's not forget William Haggis actually entered her for the Ark. With that amount of potential, I think she's got to be of interest here off 95. And I mean, her trainer is a real specialist in this sort of grade. 30 winners in 3-year-old handicaps this year.
Wow. And, you know, as you say, we yet see the best of it. That was a muddling race last time, wasn't it? I thought they all finished in a bit of a heat.
She was disappointing there. I'm willing to give her another chance, though, because her previous run at Newbury wasn't too bad. So, yeah, she'd be well treated on that form.
Indeed. And Mark?
Yeah, the one I like is in the 7:35 at Leopardstown. I like to look at Luke Great Grey for Luke Comer. You know, just a horse he run second at Limerick there, a couple of starts back. It's a race that I like the form of Only Human won it. And, you know, last time it didn't get entirely a clear run at the Curragh. I think 7 up to 1.25 will suit him well, and he's pretty adaptable. So great for me in the 7:35 at Leopardstown on Thursday.
Fantastic. Binners.
I'm off to Salisbury at 3:50 on Wednesday, Maddie, for the listed Up Avon Fillies Stakes. I'm going for John Gosden's Fanny Logan. I was really impressed with the way she stayed on in a race at the same level at York last month. And I think she's got a massive chance of going in again.
Yeah, another star filly for John Gosden. They just keep appearing out of nowhere, don't they? Now it's time to get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Mark Boylan, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I like the look of Historia here in the 7:15 at the Curragh on Friday. A filly now that is pushing me patience and pushing a few other things as well at this stage. But I think she has enough ability to win a race like this. I think she's rated 71. I'd be disappointed if she couldn't exceed that at some stage in her career. And hopefully she can begin doing that now. Historia in the 7:15 at the Curragh on Friday.
Best of luck with that one. Binners.
Killang Rock in the 3:30 at Nottingham on Tuesday. Maddie, a 5 furlong condition stakes for James Tate. A beaten favourite last time at Wolves, but got to forgive him for that. It was the first start for nearly a year. He wasn't beaten far. He's a course and distance winner, and he was second in this race in 2017 behind Ornate, who has gone on to good things since, including winning the Dash at Epsom earlier this year.
Indeed. And finally, Jimmy, your nap.
I think Great Scott could be real good each-way value in the 3:50 at Salisbury on Thursday. I think if he runs to his ability, he's got a great chance of finishing in the three.
There we are. Now, breaking news this morning, of course, that the four-miler at the Cheltenham Festival is no longer. The race sparked some controversy last year with just the four finishers. Jockeys were handed out bands, and it wasn't necessarily the best spectacle. And the race has been reduced. But the main talking point from this is also that there's going to be a mare's chase introduced at the festival in 2021, over 2.5 miles. Interesting development, Binners, and you've got some markets up for us on it.
We have indeed, Maddie. It's 1,000 to 1 that the Cheltenham Gold Cup is replaced. but heading the market, we have the novice handicap chase at 5-4. We think that one will go. If not, the juvenile handicap hurdle at 9-4. It's 5, the National Hunt Chase itself, which you just mentioned. 7, the Kim Muir. 12-1, the Martin Pipe or the Brown Advisory. And it's 14-1 bar. But the reason we've put the novice handicap chase in at the top of the market is we think there's other opportunities for horses, including the JLT novices chase and other handicap chases. So we think that will be the contest to go.
Interesting to see which one it will be. Jimmy, what do you think about these two developments? I mean, the four miler got a lot of people irate, didn't it, this year?
Yeah. In a way, it's very sad. I mean, we're talking about a race with a huge amount of history. But I do think conditions had to be changed. We can't have, you know, finishes like we did in March. And I think really just had to make it a bit easier, get jockeys in with more experience and horses in with more experience and so on. So I think that was inevitable. If you're asking my opinion on the new race, I mean, if you asked me which races should go at the Cheltenham Festival, I would say, you know, one of the mare's hurdles, if not both of them. So the fact they're adding a mare's chase.
Not a fan. Well,
no, that's a bit depressing. I mean, I could be wrong about this, but I do think that is a public opinion that, you know, if you ask people which race should go at the Cheltenham Festival, they would say one of the two mayor's hurdles. I mean, you know, Cheltenham is a public event, so you would think public opinion would have some sort of influence on that decision.
Yeah, indeed. I think the mayor's programme has sort of grown and grown and grown in recent years, so it's good that they would have sort of a finale to aim at. But I'm with you, it does dilute it a little bit, and I like to see these mayors taking on the geldings in the big races where possible. But who knows, maybe it'll grow in popularity, and I do like seeing these mayors battle it out at Cheltenham, so I'm sort of divided in my opinion.
I'm not anti-mayors races, and look, if these mayors races were very competitive at the Cheltenham Festival, then great. But I mean, the fact is they haven't been. We've had a lot of odds on winners. It's not working out as they hoped, and you know, so when you think of Veterans Chase, how popular those events have been. I mean, it is, I think, a bit strange that they've opted for a mare's chase over something like that.
Yeah, I'd love a Veterans Chase at Cheltenham. But anyway, less from me. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it, Manny? From my point of view, I'd be similar thinking to yourself. I think one of the biggest enjoyments I got in recent years at Cheltenham was seeing Annie Power beat the boys in the champion hurdle. So creating a point where you're... I think there's two ways you can view it. You can say that you're crowning a champion mare, and you can acknowledge that's a division of its own, or you can view Cheltenham as the cauldron which you create a champion overall. And I nearly like to opt for the latter half of it. You know, I think the more races we have at Cheltenham, the more you're pushing towards 5 days, which is not something that I'd like to see, you know, although it's probably the traditional view. But, you know, from the point of view of this, it's, you know, what's going to happen is more than likely that Willie Mullins, Nicky Henderson and the lads who have some very, very smart mares, it's going to be a clash between them. And maybe over time it'll grow, but my first feeling was it's not a race that we exactly needed. I understand where you're coming from with the Veterans Chase. I think they're brilliant to watch on a weekly basis or a monthly basis at the big tracks. Maybe just from a risk point of view, it'd be from a PR standpoint, if that did happen to a veteran at the Cheltenham Festival, it wouldn't be something that you'd like to be seen to be able to held against you, for example. You know, I think you're just trying to keep it as safe as you can, limit as much risk as you can. And I'm not saying the Veterans Chases aren't safe, but just it's probably something we don't need at Cheltenham at this point, albeit it would be a great spectacle.
Okay, and what do you think about the changes to the four-miler?
Yeah, they probably make a bit of sense. You know, last year wasn't pretty to watch at different points. I don't like making a judgment on 1 year, but and I think it's been a great race down through the years, but there have been incidents. It has a rich history, and I think in recent years we've seen a better quality horse that we mightn't have seen previously. And maybe this is just kind of confirming that really with these changes. I feel sorry for maybe some of the younger jockeys or some guys that kind of rules out maybe a little bit of a fairy tale element of it, that you could have a young jockey coming through and do that, who was, let's say, a guy who's successful in point to point coming through to try and do it. But I don't know if it's really going to have a huge impact, to be honest. No, I think it's probably, they're all kind of, they make sense, some of the changes, don't they?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, you know, you touched on there some of the quality of the horses that have won it, the likes of Tiger Roll, Cause of Causes, Native River was placed in it, of course. So it clearly is a very popular race and does throw up some talented horses, but makes sense from a welfare perspective and moving forward with the sport. Binners, do you have anything to add?
Just really about continuing on the new race, Maddie. We think that Willie Mullins will be the main benefactor of the introduction of this new Mayor's Chase. And it's interesting that we make Willie only 3-1 to train the winner of all three mares only races at the 2021 Cheltenham Festival. So Willie and his team, Ruby and David Casey and people like that, they'll probably be celebrating the introduction in this new race.
Yeah, they certainly will. I think that's a bit depressing though, isn't it? You like to see, as Mark said, some of the success stories, the fairy tales in these big races. So it would be a shame if it just gave them another option to aim one of their best horses at, wouldn't it?
Sporting events are meant to be competitive, you know. Even when you're talking about great horses, you want them to have competition. And, you know, giving these big yards, you know, with all their great horses, more opportunities, you know, to have an easy race to target at. I mean, it's not the way I'd go. I mean, look, someone thinks that, you know, these mares races at Cheltenham are eventually going to prove very competitive and, you know,
strengthen the breed.
Yeah. And great. I mean, it's a great idea. But look, from what I've seen so far, that is, it's just not working out that way. Mm. You know, Quivega won it how many times on the bounce? I mean, no disrespect to the horse. She was fantastic. But I mean, she should have been running in champion hurdles, stayers hurdles. You know, she was miles the best horse every time she ran, and it that's not Cheltenham for me.
Okay, so a controversial point to end this week's postcast on. Join us next week for more views and reaction to the week's racing. We'll see you next time, and best of luck with your bets.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.